and welcome to Dr. Nora's lair. Power on. Uh-oh. I'll get the broom.
Happy New Year. As the clock struck midnight, I'm sure many people had one big thing on their minds, and that's resolutions. Goals. Aspirations. Now, these things can be very helpful, and they can motivate some positive and exciting changes in your life. That said, many are around dieting, weight loss, and health. This month, I want to spend a little bit of time sharing some information about, quote, detoxes and the potential harms and myths of dieting and obesity. Kathleen Zellman, in her WebMD article, discussed the ever-popular detox, which promises to flush your toxins out of your system. But they may be risky and may even backfire. So she highlights what you can and what you can't eat on this sort of detox. And it really depends on the particular detox diet that you're following. There are many different types. Some involve fasting or just drinking liquids. Other do allow some foods, fruits, vegetables, and they're typically pretty short, and they're not a way of eating that you can really stick with for a long time. It's really important to know that there is a high level of effort. You'll feel hungry. You'll probably feel weak. Whether or not a detox diet is safe depends on the plan and how long you stay on it. Most people really don't feel well on a low-calorie, nutrient-poor diet. Potential side effects include low energy, low blood sugar, muscle aches, fatigue, feeling dizzy or lightheaded, and nausea. If the idea of detoxing appeals to you, Zellman suggests you might try, quote, clean eating that focuses on vegetables, fruits, whole grains, and lean protein. Basically, whole foods without a lot of processing. That's more likely to give you results that last, especially if you make exercise a habit. So the limitations of this is that you're going to be going without a lot of foods that you usually eat. Detox diets are typically very rigid and involve eating the same things over and over. The real positive of detox dieting involves cooking and shopping. So it really depends on the detox plan, but you're not going to be allowed to eat a whole lot, so you won't have a long shopping list. And prep work should be pretty minimal. When we look at packaged foods or meals, some detox plans recommend herbs, pills, powders, delightful enemas, and other forms of colon cleansing. Methods vary and often include products that are only available from the particular author's website. Now, the weird thing about detoxes is that exercise is not typically required, and you really may not have enough energy for it because you're not getting very many calories. The other thing to consider is that it could be very costly because besides your grocery shopping, a detox diet may call for a variety of supplements and other products which can vary in cost. And typically there's not a lot of support except for the resources you may find online, so there's no coach per se. So Dr. Michael Smith weighs in, and this is what he says about the whole detox diet. If your goal is to lose weight, a detox diet might help you drop a few pounds, but you will be likely to gain it back. In the end, you haven't accomplished anything, and it's certainly not a healthy approach. If your goal is to, quote, detox your system, do not waste your time or money. Your body is an expert at getting rid of toxins, no matter what you eat. Toxins don't build up in your liver, kidneys, or any other part of your body, and you're not going to get rid of them with the latest detox wonder. Especially avoid diets that promise to detox your liver with supplements or, quote, cleanse, whatever the diet determines needs washing out. The only type of detox diet that is worthwhile is one that limits processed, high-fat, sugary foods and replaces them with more whole foods like fruits and vegetables. That clean eating approach is your best bet to get your body in tip-top shape. Is it good for certain conditions? Dr. Smith mentions. Not only are detox diets not good for people with certain conditions, they can actually be harmful. There is no research showing they improve blood pressure or cholesterol or have a positive effect on the heart. For people with diabetes, they may be very dangerous. Any diet that severely restricts what you eat could lead to dangerously low blood sugar if you take medicines for diabetes. The exception would be a detox diet that just focuses on clean eating. This approach could be great for anyone living with high cholesterol, high blood pressure, diabetes, or even heart disease, but be careful. The final word, he says, is that we've heard a great deal about detox diets in recent years, but it's all hype with no health benefits. There are many ways to get your body clean and healthy, and detox diets aren't one of them. An interesting perspective of the last decade or so has been the rise of the Health at Every Size movement, or the HAES movement. And articles like Medicare's Search for Effective Obesity Treatments, Diets Are Not the Answer, which was published in American Psychologist by Mann et al., says the authors reviewed studies of the long-term outcomes of calorie-restricting diets to assess whether dieting is an effective treatment for obesity. These studies show that one-third to two-thirds of dieters regain more weight than they lost on their diets, and these studies likely underestimate the extent to which dieting is counterproductive because of several methodological problems, all of which bias the studies towards showing successful weight loss maintenance. In addition, the studies do not prove consistent evidence that dieting results in significant health improvements, regardless of weight change. In sum, there is little support for the notion that diets lead to lasting weight loss or health benefits. Jennifer Rollin is an eating disorder therapist in Rockville, Maryland, who specializes in helping teens and adults to recover from anorexia, bulimia, binge eating disorder, and body image issues. She wrote an interesting piece in Psychology Today entitled Three Myths About Weight and Health Debunked. Research suggests that a person's weight is not a good indicator of health. Rollins writes frequently about ditching dieting and accepting yourself at a natural size, what she calls her set point weight. This can be somewhat controversial, as in our dieting and fruitless pursuit of weight loss is the pervasive paradigm in our society. Some commenters state that she has simply given up or that she encourages others to lead unhealthy lives. The reality is that you can work towards improving your health and happiness without attempting to lose weight. This isn't just a simplistic platitude aimed at making people feel better about themselves, although it doesn't hurt. Rather, it is a truth that is based upon evidence-based research. If your aim is to improve your health, it is important to shift your focus from changing your weight to the idea of adding healthful behaviors that make you feel good and honor your body. Rollin writes of hearing a talk by Dr. Linda Bacon, a professor, researcher, and author of Health at Every Size and Body Respect. The following are some common misconceptions about weight and health and what the research has actually found. So the first myth that they talk about is obesity leads to increased mortality. So we've all heard the prevailing false belief that being classified as obese or overweight leads to increased mortality. This belief is so pervasive in our society that many believe it to be a scientific fact. However, a study published in the Journal of American Medical Association that looked at BMI and mortality found that the lowest mortality was in the overweight category. The study also found that moderate obesity had the same risk as normal weight, and that even severe obesity failed to show up as statistically significant mortality risk. In addition, Dr. Bacon referenced a meta-analysis, which is the most comprehensive review of epidemiological research. This meta-analysis pooled data from 26 different studies and found overweight to be associated with greater longevity than normal weight. Further, a phenomenon known as the obesity paradox that is supported by several hundred research studies indicates that higher weight is associated with greater longevity for people with numerous diseases that include type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, hypertension, and chronic kidney disease. Our second myth is that weight loss improves health. So many people believe that losing weight equals improving health. There are numerous industries that make huge profits off people believing that fact. They feel that weight loss is the key to increased health and happiness. However, recent research suggests that losing weight doesn't actually improve health biomarkers such as blood pressure, fasting glucose, or triglyceride levels for most people. A study entitled Long-Term Effects of Dieting: Is Weight Loss Related to Health? concluded in correlation analysis. However, we uncovered no clear relationship between weight loss, health outcomes related to hypertension, diabetes, or cholesterol, calling into question whether weight change per se had any causal role in the few effects of the diets. Increased exercise, healthy eating, engagement with the healthcare system, and social support may have played a role instead. In our society, one's weight has become inextricably linked to one's health. However, a person can improve their health markers through adopting healthy habits, regardless of their weight. For instance, research shows that lifestyle changes can reduce blood pressure, largely or completely independent of changes in body weight. The same can be said for blood lipids. Improvements in insulin sensitivity and blood lipids as a result of aerobic exercise training has been documented even in individuals who've gained body weight during the intervention. So this sums up a basic concept that goes against our prominent societal belief. You can be thin and healthy. You can also be fat and healthy. Health is not dependent upon one's body size. Additionally, rather than focusing on the self-loathing and frankly near impossible task of maintaining a long-term goal of weight loss, it can be empowering to shift one's mindset to adopting healthy habits, such as finding pleasurable moments, attuning to hunger cues, and mindfully nourishing yourself with food that you actually enjoy. And the number three myth, you can judge a person's health and eating habits on the basis of their weight. You cannot determine anything about a person's health and their eating habits based on their body size or weight. First off, there are people who are thin and do not engage in healthy habits. There are people who are thin who do engage in healthy habits. Judging someone's health or eating habits on the basis of their weight not only is stigmatizing, it ignores people who fit society's ideal thin of beauty, but who are engaging in unhealthy behaviors. In regards to the myth that fatter people consume more calories than thinner people, Dr. Bacon pointed to a study in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, which found that energy intakes for those with a BMI greater than and equal to 30 were actually lower than subject energy intakes for overweight or healthy weight subjects. She also goes on to discuss an article from the National Academy of Sciences, which state most studies compare normal and overweight people, suggest that those that are overweight actually eat fewer calories than those of normal weight. Further, Dr. Bacon discussed how the war on obesity is politically and financially motivated. After all, declaring a war on obesity leads to large financial gains for the diet industry and for doctors who, quote, treat obesity. In addition, she stated that the war on obesity is really a war on people's bodies. Roland urges you to take back the power from the people and industries, which send the message that you should fight against your body if it doesn't fit our thin ideal standard of beauty. Health at Every Size is a movement that emphasizes detaching health from weight. Adopting a Hayes approach benefits everyone. Body hatred, fat shaming, and weight stigma is serving no one and is doing psychological and physical harm to individuals in our society. Body diversity exists, and we are not meant to fit the ideal standard of beauty. Whatever your shape or your size, you can work to honor and respect your body by treating it with kindness and care. She states, "As a mental health therapist who works with adolescent girls, I am a proud advocate of the Health at Every Size movement. My aim is to help clients to learn how to love, embrace themselves, to treat their bodies with kindness and respect, and to practice healthful habits at any size." A prominent Hayes website sums it up the best when it states, "The war on obesity has taken its toll. Extensive collateral damage has resulted. Food and body preoccupation, self-hatred, eating disorders, discrimination, poor health. Few of us are at peace with our bodies, whether because we're fat or because we fear becoming fat. Health at Every Size is the new peace movement. Very simply, it acknowledges that good health can best be realized independent from considerations of size. It supports people of all sizes in addressing health directly by adopting healthy behaviors." So, before you try to rush off to fulfill your New Year's resolutions, please remember to be kind to yourself. There's only one you. You are special. Try not to torture yourself. And remember, if Weight Watchers actually worked, they would eventually put themselves out of business, which we know that they have no plans to do. So, a very happy new year, dear listener. May all your 2019 dreams come true. Well, back to the lab for me. Igor, come on, we got some experiments to run.
Yes, master. I will cancel my gym membership immediately.